Hello and welcome to Mysteries, Inc. I'm Spring.
I'm Joe.
And we are here to bring you another week of history, mysteries, conspiracies, and creatures. We haven't done too many conspiracies, but that's because, I don't know.
I've done a few.
The whole world's just a conspiracy, I think. Like, we're just already living in it, you know?
I mean, a lot of the weird myth stuff, or the stuff with weird, shady backgrounds, some conspiracy to get it going.
But it's some people conspired. Like, you know, dead presidents kind of conspiracies. You know what I mean? Like, they're always just like, ooh, were there really aliens or not?
Right. Well, I had is it Peru? I forget where those aliens were from. Oh, no, it was the Mexican
Congress.
And that
whole thing with that celebrity.
Paul McCartney?
Yeah. Wasn't there another one where it was some kind of weird celebrity that there was some kind of like weird conspiracy involved with them, and I think it dealt with Nazis. I could be just having a lucid dream right now. It's
who knows?
Okay.
Nazis have come up multiple times in our
so
talk. So
this week, Joe and I have agreed that since we're doing another Zoom episode, that rock, paper, scissors is just not working. We're going to go with another oldie, I guess, in solving problems. Yep. It's a classic. Want to tell them,
the
Joe?
Coin.
The coin.
So,
yes.
All right, Spring, you call it.
I'm going to go with heads.
Okay. Oh, you win.
Yes! No matter the game, I will be victorious!
Just know I could have lied, but...
You could have, but you're an honest guy, man.
Exactly.
All right. This week I have my story. It's called Hardworking V's and Yumbos.
Hardworking V's?
V's.
Okay, yeah, that's what I heard. Okay.
And then Yumbos, you know, like Yumbos.
I don't know what a Yumbo is, so...
You will.
All right.
So I was leafing through my mythology book and I came across an entry called Velo Men. Okay? And the book said they're part of the mythology of the Malagasy of Madagascar. Okay? So it's some kind of African lore. And the belief goes that God had a daughter and she is the earth. And earth created small clay people that came to life when God breathed life into them, you know, the breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Earth loved having the Velo men around because they were hard workers. And she became very, very rich. And the Velo
the
men.
The daughter
were,
did?
Yeah. Earth.
Okay. Earth
rich.
Became rich. Okay. Where does Earth spend its money?
I don't know, but it's got it.
Uranus.
And there's humans around, too. So it's not like this is, you know, just, humans are toiling away. No, this is a special little race.
There's Velo men and humans.
Correct.
And Earth is blinging.
And Earth is like this big, beautiful planet. It's a girl, you know, and
she's loaded.
She's making money, all right? Well, come to find out, the Velo men were actually immortal. So she, like, was happy to have them just continuously working and her just getting the profits and it just being this little cycle that just keeps on going.
Yes.
You know, like, step one is steal the socks. Step two. Yeah.
No, is it steal
step
the
three,
underwear?
Money. Oh, yeah, steal, yeah, the, steal the underwear. Yeah.
South Park, for anyone who didn't get that one.
So God was not happy about the loophole that his daughter found. So he demanded that she give him half of the riches. Earth refused to share because it was her idea first.
Her
So,
slaves.
well, yeah, she's like, no, they work for me. You got your own crap. I don't know why I gotta share my riches. You
He's
didn't
like the
even think
mafia
about this.
boss. You gotta kick it up.
Well, he did kick it up because he decided to take back his breath of life. And so the Velo men ended up growing old and dying like normal people. Now, I wanted to learn more because I'm like, this sounds amazing. Like, did Earth retaliate against God? Is she just wallowing in wait with us humans treading upon her? Like, where did her riches go? Did God just take it after he like killed her men? And I found nothing.
No.
Disappointingly found nothing. But while I was searching, I kept on finding the Yumbos.
Okay.
Yumbos. Doesn't that sound fun? Like, ah, the Yumbos.
I don't even know. It's such a weird word that I have no, like, it's a blank slate for me. I have, I guess,
So,
gumbo is, yeah,
well,
it's a tasty stew.
Yumbos, or good people, are from the Wolof people of Senegal, specifically Gori Island off of the coast of Dakar.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm just going to do a little shout out to one of our most loyal listeners. Hi, Tijal and Shali, because Tijal is from Senegal. So I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this stuff, please. So the name Yumba, which is where Yumbos is rooted from, is rooted in the Wolof word for pumpkin, and it ties to a desire to steal food from the living.
Weird.
And so they are described as spirits of the dead, or fairies or elves, depending on where you go, that only come out of the Pap's Hill or Pap's Hills to dance and feast in the moonlight. By the way, the hills are described as resembling women's breasts.
Always with
So now
the
here's your
best.
visual. Yumbos are described as 2 feet tall, pearly white people with silver hair, dancing in the moonlight, coming out from a pair of beautiful breasts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's kind of fun. I get it. I was trying to get what you were putting down, but I got it now.
The only part, they have their feasts on long tables that are tended to by invisible servants who are only visible with like their hands and their feet. So it's just these hands and these feet moving around these tables,
Weird.
preparing a feast to these silver dancing men. Okay?
Milkman.
Well, Yumbos eat corn that they steal from us humans and fish that they catch. So these feasts are just, it's just corn and fish everywhere. And they are said to be very attached to human interaction. So they will invite all those around them to feast, including locals and foreigners. Doesn't matter. Everybody come party. And sometimes they become attached to a specific family and look out for them. And in that case, the family members dies, and the Yumbos will comfort the living and dance on the grave of like the person. And I don't think it's in a disrespectful way. I think it's
No,
just kind of
but that's
like,
what I was gonna ask. Is it's good
I mean,
dancing?
dancing fairies in the moonlight. Come on, like this sounds so gay, doesn't it? Like,
It sounds fun. Got
I
titty milk dancing on your grave.
know. But anyways. Feeding everybody, accepting everyone. They're just here for a disco. Just here for a disco. It's like the good aliens. Anyways, in recent times, you can actually find references to Yumbos in Pottermore. Because apparently, they are the Senegalese national Quidditch team's mascot, and they are known as the house elves to those that live in that region.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, it
Yeah.
kind of ended up getting mixed in there.
It's the Harry Potter stuff. They've co-opted every magical thing around.
But I wonder how that works out with them stealing food and loving to steal. Because, like, house elves, I don't see them getting away with that. I mean, I could see them being stealers, you know, like and scribbling away things like Creature did inside of Harry Potter. He
Yeah,
would
but he
always
wasn't
steal
really
away things,
stealing.
but
He was
like,
stealing from like the house, kind of. I don't know. It wasn't the same thing, though.
these guys are known for it. It's even in their name, and yet they're like, yeah, let's have them work for us.
I don't know. They're like. It's what's fun is they're not really like good or bad. They're thieves, but they also
They'll
feed
feed you
you.
corn they stole.
Love on you.
They'll make you accomplices to their crime. Like, well, we caught the fish, but we stole the
Then they invite the guy who they stole
corn.
it from.
Yeah, because they're really friendly. And that's all I was able to find. I just thought they were two incredible creatures that, although they didn't have much to talk about, they were still fun
Enough
to
to
talk
share.
about.
You gotta share a
Yeah.
little. Yeah,
So what you
there's
got?
a few parts of mine that they're tacked on, but they're mostly just because they are related. And so it's like, yeah, they were. But so we're gonna talk about great floods. And not
Ooh.
like you would imagine, like the flood myths. We're talking weird things. So have you ever heard of the Great Molasses Flood?
Yes. Slow death.
It's pretty
Yes.
weird. So, all right. For those of you who don't know, on January 15th, 1919, in the North End neighborhood of Boston, Massachusetts, a large storage tank filled with 2.3 million U.S. gallons. I meant to look up the difference between U.S. and imperial gallons. I'm sure they're close enough.
I'm sure
But
it's just pomp. No.
well, I read the so I've got more than one kind of story here, and there's imperial gallons too. So it's like,
Yeah.
Anyways, so 2.3 million U.S. gallons. That's 8,700 cubic meters of molasses, weighing
That's a
approximately
lot.
13,000 short tons, which is 12,000
Okay.
metric tons. I don't know why there's this weird. Like, I got into a lot of measurements this week. So,
You're
like,
realizing how messed up the American system is, huh?
well, it's not just the American one. I don't even know what a short ton is. I don't know why there's like an extra ton in this. The US one, yeah, I guess because there's metric tons then. I don't know. Anyways, so this huge vat burst, and the resulting wave of molasses just rushed through the streets at about 35 miles an hour,
That's
56
actually pretty
kilometers
fast.
for our for our foreign friends. Yeah, that is fast. That's like, I mean, that's about what your average car is going in the city, and that's pretty fast for molasses. For molasses, but that's because there's so much of it. So, yeah, this disaster occurred at the Purity Distilling Facility at 529 Commercial Street near Caney Square.
Okay.
They were storing the molasses at this facility before it made its way to another facility where it was to be turned into ethanol. And so they, you know, is ethanol used for both alcoholic beverages? They were like the biggest manufacturer basically in the country. They used it for munitions and different shit.
Yep.
So, this tank was like 50 feet tall. Again, 15 meters
Shit.
for the non-US folk. So that's a big ass tank of molasses. And so it was January, and due to some unseasonal temperatures, it was 40 degrees. 4 degrees
Okay.
Celsius. That was 40 Fahrenheit. 4 degrees
So
Celsius.
considerate this tonight.
They gotta know. So January in Boston, it's normally like freezing. So 40 degrees Fahrenheit, pretty high. And the molasses was fluctuating in temperature and kind of density a little bit more than usual.
Yeah.
And like, so expands a little bit. And due to this thermal expansion, the tank burst. And it's this 50-foot gigantic tank of molasses. So it's 12:30 p.m. Witnesses reported that like they felt the ground shake and a
I bet
massive
they
bang,
did.
accompanied by like machine gun sound. It was actually the rivets shooting off the tank.
That's
I don't know if
intense.
anyone got
That's
hit by
intense.
those. But yeah, so the density of molasses is about 12 pounds per U.S. gallon, or 1.4 metric tons per cubic meter. In other words, it's some dense liquid. It's 48% more dense than water, actually. So this resulted in a wave of molasses that was 25 feet at its peak, 8
Holy
meters.
shit. Holy shit. No, hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but this is slow moving, thick tar like
It's
stuff.
not slow at the
But
moment,
it's not
though.
that slow moving. It's like it's something like I don't think people would imagine to be life threatening. And then once they get caught in it, it's like the worst death ever.
Well, I mean,
Like, holy
molasses is often
shit.
like a synonym for slow. Like
Yeah,
slow
but
is
like,
molasses, or
how tall was the
simile.
wave?
Yeah, a 25-foot wave at its peak, so as it bursts right out, really.
That's scary.
It's still pretty wild, as even as it got further away. So it was 25 feet at its peak, and several blocks were flooded to a depth of 2 to 3 feet.
Oh my God. Dogs, cats.
Yeah, actually, we're about to get to that. So the Boston Globe reported molasses waist deep covered the street and swirled and bubbled about the wreckage. Here and there struggled a form, whether it was animal or human being was impossible to tell. Only an upheaval of thrashing about in the sticky mass showed where any life was. Horses died like so many flies on sticky flypaper. The more they struggled, the deeper in the mess they were ensnared. Human beings, men and women, suffered likewise.
That would, because like at least in water you can like bound up to the top and get some air. This stuff, no, where you
No,
are,
it's so
you're like
heavy.
stuck.
And
Yeah.
the tension of it, oh, yeah, you're not getting out of there easily. So, again, the Boston Globe had reported people saying that they were, like, picked up by a rush of air and hurled many feet.
Thank gosh.
A truck actually was, like, hurled into Boston Harbor.
Really?
Yeah, it's just kind of from the shockwave, I guess. And so others were said to have been hit by a rush, like a wave of sweet-smelling air.
I think that the U.S. government should use that when bombing places is to make
Bomb
it
with
aromatic
molasses.
and it'd be like, I smelt sugar, and then all of a sudden everyone was on fire.
That's terrible.
Like,
So the fact that it was January did not help this
no.
because as the molasses cooled, it was even harder to get yourself out. So yeah, that's
Well,
not
yeah,
fun.
because, yeah.
Yep.
They just needed to get some sugar and put that in there and turn it all into brown sugar. Did like these people turn into like ember? You know, because I'm like imagining like the old mosquitoes that get caught in like, you know,
Oh,
tree
and
sap.
amber, yeah, no, I don't know. So not as funny, but about 150 people were injured, 21 people were killed, and they didn't say how many, but a bunch of horses were killed and some dogs and such.
Oh.
The cleanup of the immediate area took about 2 weeks. Boston Harbor was brown with molasses until
Well,
summer.
I'm sure they shoved it all out there, so
Well,
you
I'm
know.
sure they just had to wash it out there, whatever. The cleanup workers, like, were covered in it, so I guess they said it tracked it just everywhere. It was said that everything that a Bostonian had touched was sticky.
I wonder now if like the menu changed because of that. Like people just got so sick of that sweet. If now they're just more of a savory flavoring out in Boston, or if it's like,
Maybe.
because like you would imagine that would fuck with people's culture where they'd just be like, no, we're avoiding this because
Well,
like
it
we
was
had
more
too
for
much to clean it
alcohol
up.
than the diet specific, like in food, but and I don't think Boston lost their taste for
Nah, I
liquor.
don't know. You got me there.
So,
No.
yeah, that's the I mean, I could have got d dove deeper into like who's blamed and whatnot, but that's just getting way into the weeds.
Why do we have to point fingers?
That's
It's
getting
been
into the
so
weeds.
many years.
Yeah. So there was
Yeah.
another notable molasses spill, actually, that it was kind of, it was like, wow, that's a lot. Well, this is much later, but in September of 2013, 1,400 tons had spilled, but luckily no one died, no humans or
Oh, thank God.
horses.
No
Probably some fish,
horses
though, because it
and
spilled into
fish.
Honolulu Harbor. And it wasn't even discovered for a few days, so oops.
That's where that fish that likes peanut butter and jelly sandwiches from Lilo and Stitch hangs out because why else would a fish have a taste for like peanut butter? Peanut butter and
Yes.
molasses go together.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never. Can't say I've heard that one.
Peanut butter and honey and molasses. You can
I
have them all
like honey.
together.
Oh, peanut butter and honey. So, I came across a bunch more fun floods, and actually, it's incidentally when we were talking about the booze. So, In 1814, in London, there was an accident at Mew and Co.'s Horseshoe Brewery that resulted in a flood of 323,000 imperial gallons of beer, particularly a porter, or specifically a
Ooh.
porter. And sadly, the wave of beer crashed through a back wall of the brewery and flooded this slum known as St. Giles Rookery, where eight people were killed. And unfortunately, five of those
Damn.
people were killed while attending a wake. Attending a wake of a 2-year-old boy, and then I know it's just absolute tragedy.
First, you're like, people died.
Poor little
Then
Timmy.
they were at a wake. Oh, and it was for a little kid. Like, oh
And
my gosh.
his Uncle Willie was like, I could go for a beer. Beer crashed through the wall.
The boy was so selfless. He was looking out for his elders. He said, I wish they could all have a drink on me. Damn.
Another fun one in New York.
One.
In 1919, a fire broke out in the shipping department of Rockwood and Co. Chocolate Factory. And when the fire department tried to extinguish, unfortunately they couldn't save the building, but they were, putting the fire out. All this water had washed all this chocolate and butter into the streets and then blocked the drains. And
Well,
so it was
yeah.
just like a river of chocolate, like buttery chocolate, just flowing through the street, and kids would go up and drink it and taste it and stuff. Because I mean, 1919 New York streets, they're not clean now, but how much waste was,
Was
ugh.
this before or after Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
I don't know.
Augustus, my love, you do not know what you do.
It was said that it was so backed up that it was high enough to float a rowboat for 2 blocks.
That would be in. But butter is so clogging unless you have like enough hot water to like
Yeah, that's
kind
what you
of,
need
and
is
even then
hot.
it still doesn't come off either.
This reminded me of when I worked at the chocolate place, and
Yeah.
I worked in sanitation, so I would be cleaning tanks full of, clean the tanks that had chocolate in them, and it would be like a river of chocolate up to my ankles. So
Yeah,
I
yeah.
can picture this well. All of that made me not want chocolate for like a long time.
Once again, it makes me wonder if these people don't like that stuff anymore.
That one I could see.
Yeah.
Although for
But
me
dang.
it was just every day. These kids, it's not every day that a chocolate river
No, that
flows
there's a
through.
chocolate river. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, I hope somebody lost a bet where they're just like, oh, and then there's candy on the streets, huh? I'll do that when there's candy on the streets. And it's like, look, there's
There you
chocolate.
go. So one more notable mention in 1991, close to home here in Madison, Wisconsin, there was and I actually didn't even write anything down, but I had just come across this quick. There was a butter fire, and so it was also known as the Great Butter Flood and Cheese Fire.
Of
But it
course.
was a meat and dairy plant that basically started on fire. The fire continued for 8 days because they couldn't put it out, but no one died, so that's actually nice.
My
But
gosh.
it just must have smelled real interesting for a minute, for like months probably.
God. Ugh. That's gotta be. But yeah, that would smell bad. Because I remember, like, in
Burnt butter.
Watertown, we often have, like, the smell of like roasting coffee beans, and that was always like hit or miss if it was good or kind of
Oh, I
bad.
always
Because
liked the
after a
smell of the
while,
roastery. I loved
it was
that.
a hit or miss for some
I was
people. Because
close enough
like,
to it that I really liked it.
you liked it,
I
but like
love.
I can only imagine.
Anytime I'm somewhere where there's a roastery, I love it. I'm just like,
That's nostalgia.
can't get
That's
enough
like
of the
childhood
air.
trauma.
Maybe a little bit. But
All
yeah.
right.
Well, that is all I've got for today.
Yeah.
Flooding molasses and beer and butter.
And yumbos
Yumbos.
and hardworking, oh, I can't remember their name now. hardworking, whatever those guys are. No.
The Velo men, Velo,
Velos. How can I
Velos.
forget the Velos?
I couldn't remember how I remembered it was. It sounds like those Velo tracks or whatever. The
Velo made just for me. No.
No, I'm talking about like the like weird the Olympic biking thing where it's like the weird the velodrome tracks or whatever.
No,
No,
don't even
don't
know
no
what that
idea.
is.
They're like
I just know a cheesy
weird
commercial.
bikes. Anyways, well, thanks
Right,
for joining us,
everybody.
everybody. As usual, if you can follow us, like us, spread the word.
Yeah, subscribe,
Feel
get to
free
know us some
to
more.
follow us. Feel free to message us with any questions, comments, suggestions. So,
Yeah,
all
I'll
right.
answer weird questions. I'm not that way.
Oh.
All right, you guys. Until next time, have a good
Bye.
night. Bye.